In the last 20 years, I've been to Pakistan about 6 times. I go to Pakistan to visit a tiny village called Shimshau, which is in the very far north of the country. It's in the mountains of the Karakoram. It's quite a mission to get to Shimshau, as a volunteer teacher, and lately I've been going to visit friends. So getting there is quite hard. Basically 2 stages. The first is from Islamabad to Gilgit, which is the main city of the northern areas of Pakistan. And then after that, from Gilgit to Shimshau, which is a 4-wheel drive journey of amazing terror, and which I'm not going to talk to you about now, because the journey from Islamabad to Gilgit is the one that I took in the shadows of the night. If you want to travel from Islamabad to Gilgit, there have been 3 ways to go. You don't want to travel on your own. It's certainly not a good idea to do that if you're a Western woman in particular. So you need to go with company. So the first way you can go, the most obvious way, is by public bus service. This is supposedly an air-conditioned bus, but that just means they leave the door open. The bus journey takes about 18 hours, and it goes along the main Karakoram Highway. It's an incredibly uncomfortable, miserable journey. And also, you run the risk of there being bandits which come in from the western valleys into the Indus Valley. I have actually seen a bus crashed into the side of the road, as has one other member of our audience here tonight, with bullet holes in the windscreen. So not really to be recommended. Another way of travelling from Islamabad to Gilgit is to go with the trekking company in an air-conditioned bus. This is a lot more comfortable. You have company, but it takes about 3 days because there are things to see on the way and the road is not that great. But it is genuinely air-conditioned. And the third way, which you would normally go, is to fly, which only takes an hour to cover the 400 kilometres, but you may have to wait 3 days for the weather to clear, and then you may have to wait another 3 days for the waiting list to go down. When I went in 2017, which was my last visit, and I was going to visit some friends, they told me that things had changed in Pakistan. It was a bit easier to travel. And there was another route I could go, which would be better than all the others. And this was by private car. And the private car, the driver will wait until he's got enough people to make it financially worthwhile, and then he'll ring you up and tell you. My driver decided he was going to travel at night because there was less traffic on the road at night. This route is a secondary road which goes over the Babisar Pass, which I had heard of as being a pretty rough and difficult route. So I was interested, to say the least, and slightly apprehensive. Our driver turned up at 11 o'clock at night at my friend's house, and he was a very beautiful young man of about 30 with a neatly barbered beard and hair and a beautiful snow-white shalwar kameez. There was one more passenger in the car who was wearing a grey suit. He didn't speak to me on the whole journey because he didn't speak any English. But the driver had just enough tourist English to know when I needed various basic essential facilities. So we started our journey in the dark. I had the back seat to myself, and that suited me fine because I have learned from locals that a really good way to deal with terrifying car journeys is to go to sleep. And I can usually manage this. But after a couple of hours, I was awake again. And the car was driving along what seemed to be quite a good road in a very steep-sided valley with a lot of trees, all completely dark. The driver was going amazingly fast and cutting all the corners. Now, I have a petrol head from years back, so I wasn't too bothered about this because I know that if you're travelling at night, you can tell if there are oncoming cars because they have headlights. So I thought, oh, that's okay, and went back to sleep again. The next time I woke up, I needed to pee. So I told the driver that I would like to stop for a toilet, and he said, okay, just coming up. We stopped at a small town called Naran, which must be a ski resort in winter, but this was high summer, and it was completely dark, and Naran was totally deserted from what I could see. It was just a strip development along the road. The driver stopped outside a hotel under construction and showed me up some concrete steps onto the second floor of the building. This was lit with a single electric light, and there was a shack up there with a toilet in it. So I relieved myself and came out. The driver had waited for me, and he took my hand and pulled me towards him. I gave him my best schoolmistress stare, took my hand back, and walked back down the steps to the car. So that was okay. We roared up the rest of the pass, and we passed a flock of goats on the road, which is a pretty typical sight in Pakistan. There was a farmer there with a Taliban beret on the top and a shalwar kameez, and suddenly I realised we'd crossed the pass. So I said, stop, grabbed my camera, and ran back up to the pass to take my photographs. Whew, suddenly I felt really ill. My head was throbbing, I was sweating, I felt dizzy. I sat down and put my head between my knees, and when I looked up, there in front of me, etched in stone, were the words, Babasar Pass, 13,600 feet. And I had just run up the hill. So I took my photograph. The top of the pass was a complete mess. There were plastic bags and corrugated iron everywhere from the stalls that the locals built to sell their Coca-Cola to tourists and so on. It looked really terrible. But I took a few photographs and wandered back down in a rather more stately way to the car. Shortly after that, we arrived in Gilgit, where the driver was absolutely delighted to announce that he'd done the whole journey in 10 hours, which is apparently a little short of a miracle, inshallah. And he was so very proud of himself and delivered me to the hotel where I was going to wait for my next driver. Because we'd arrived early, I realised I was going to be on my own in the hotel for a couple of hours, which is really not a great situation to be in. But suddenly, on the doorstep, I saw my old friend Mehdi, who's from Shimshar. Mehdi, I said, what a relief to see you. Is it all right to give you a hug? He said, yes, Pam, you can give me a hug. So I gave him the biggest hug. And that was my solo journey at night after hours.